This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, who's now back from holiday, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm back. Just as I went to say, I'm back. A little burp formed in my throat. I'd like to apologise to everybody for returning from my holiday. A little bit burpy, a little bit gassy, but I ate a lot of great food, and now I'm back.
Do you feel rejuvenated?
I do feel rejuvenated. It was very relaxing, and it was nice to hear the dulcet, more than dulcet tones of Charmander on the show last week. Very able deputy, if not a deputy that exceeds anything I could bring to the table. So thank you very much to Charla. She was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good. It was good luck. We were both in Tokyo at the same time. I was like desperately wondering what to do. And Charlotte was awesome. She's got so many weird stories and experiences that I can't even imagine, like she shared with us. And if you missed those episodes, go back and have a listen, folks, because Charlotte certainly had some interesting experiences in the film industry in particular that were pretty cool to hear.
And then she absolutely mugged you off by posting a picture of you on Twitter dressed for a fancy dress party.
That was not good. She posted a photo of the time we met, and I'm dressed like a criminal. I look awful, and it's me with like a jacket with a lollipop stuck to it with eyeliner, and it's just dreadful. Didn't really want that going in the public domain.
I like it
anyway.
I like it.
I've just driven across Japan to Yamagata to see Natsuki. And do you remember, I think about a month ago, Pete, Natsuki and I were going to go to a little desert island and do a video, right? But the weather was rubbish and the boat got cancelled. We're doing it again. Yeah. Tomorrow morning, island adventure.
Fantastic. What are your preparations? Have you brought Natsuki's pirate hat and pirate sword? Has he got all the things he needs?
He's got all his pirate equipment and he's got his metal detector. He's brilliant. Beautiful. He's not got a normal metal detector, like a good one where you like hold it and it's like, you know, a big long one. He's got a bloody metal detector you use at an airport to detect metal on a person, like a hand one.
So he's got to kind of like, kneel down and detect metal like that.
That is what's going to happen. That is the level.
Oh, Natsuki. I'm glad to see someone else in your life is just a terrible eBay, terrible orderer of crap at Chinese electronics. Wonderful.
It's Natsuki style. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how it's going to go. The weather's looking nice, but I have been to this island, I think once before, many years ago. And I remember I was violently seasick on the way because it's quite choppy, the Sea of Japan. Mm. And so I'm a little bit scared about that. And, you know, Natsuki's involved. You never know. Something might go spectacularly wrong along the way. But I'm going to film it. And whatever goes down will be on the Abroad in Japan channel sometime in the next 3 years when I edit it. Now we turn our attention to story of the week. Let's see what we've got. It's a message from somebody who didn't write their name.
Name.
Gonna have to dig that out later on. But it says, "Hey, Donnie and Chris. Long-time listener here with a story for my first visit to Japan. My wife and I had always wanted to visit Japan, but for one reason or another, we kept having to postpone. However, one day my wife entered an international lottery to buy concert tickets for an artist called Ringo Shina, who I've never heard of. Ringo Shina.
Is it Fiona Apple? Ringo means apple, so could it be Fiona Apple?
Apple Sheena. And we miraculously won the tickets. As we're both huge fans, we agreed we had to go, and we bought our concert tickets under our translated katakana names and also booked our flights. I mean, if you're using like a Japanese website, you have to write in Japanese characters a lot of the time, which can be a little bit tricky. Fast forward a bunch, and we're finally at Osaka Hall, and we attempt to go in with our tickets, only to find out that our English names translated into hiragana and katakana aren't valid. And since those are not our names, the tickets are not usable. We felt like complete trash. We flew all this way only to be told we can't go in. So as I'm trying to find another way in, my wife talks to another worker and uses the Gaijin foreigner card with a whole lot of charm and gets us in. Well, hey, Gaijin card. The concert was absolutely amazing, and both my wife and I left feeling too jazzed up to sleep. So we decided to meet up some friends in Dotonbori, which is the place where Pete and I saw the Glico man. Awesome dude.
The Glico man.
So my wife and I split up for this part. She went to a friend's Airbnb to hang, and I headed to the nearest convenience store to get some hooch to bring to said Airbnb. While I was walking in Dotonbori, I made eye contact with this cute girl and realized I forgot my wallet. I walked back to my Airbnb, went into my room to find my wallet, and came out and saw that the same cute girl was taking her shoes off in the entrance. What the fuck? What? Before I could even say anything, my wife walked in, looked at her, and scowled at me. After a few seconds, I broke the silence with the ever so popular, "I swear I don't know her," which in all fairness, she did not believe one bit. I won't bore you with all the details, but she ended up believing me because I was on a video call to her dad the entire time. Two life lessons to learn from this are, number one, always file your paperwork correctly, and number two, don't look at red light district women in the eyes unless that's what you're into. P.S. Pete, how are you not the face of Coolish? You're the reason my friends and I buy it. Good God.
Damn right.
Look. I'm amazed at the direction that story took, a sharp left turn.
Yeah. Just collecting women who are walking the streets, collecting them like lint. Just someone just following you in, attracted by your adrenaline pull, so to speak. Incredible. Incredible. But
pretty bold move on the part of the girl, wasn't it? Oh, he looked at me. Oh, wow. He must be a client now. I'll follow him back to his place without a word.
Listen, it's probably in businessmen's, it's probably the art of the deal. It's probably in the art of the deal. Businessmen, if you look in my direction, I'm going to try and sell you something. Have a bit of that.
I don't doubt for a minute, but well done. Mm. So be careful, ladies and gentlemen. Next time you're in Osaka, don't look at anyone. Just keep your eyes down on the ground and nothing will go wrong. Thank God he was talking to his wife's dad. Otherwise, that could have got pretty dicey.
I would say that it's a pretty risky move if you are, you know, into that kind of thing, bringing someone in to the room where your wife or partner is there. Wow, it's I could see why she might have got a little put out by that particular situation. But yeah, incredible. Play the Gaijin card. I know nothing.
Gaijin card. Good old Gaijin card. I've got a video coming out soon where I talked about how I exploited the Gaijin card once. Deliberately.
Right.
Lot of people do it, you know. Basically, if you just can't speak Japanese, you can just get away with things by being like, no, understand, no need to pay. I can not pay. Oh, do you remember
Chris burned down that orphanage, though, so that's why Chris played the Gaijin card. I didn't realise that you're not allowed to burn down orphanages here. Oh.
It is the sort of thing I wouldn't do. But like I remember 2 years ago, we were talked about that guy in Shinjuku Park who just didn't charge foreigners because he was scared to charge foreigners.
That's right. Yes, and the metropolitan government lost out on the best part of $500,000. It was over 100,000 certainly.
You got no pensions
or dollars. Incredible. yeah, they took it out of his pension, which is a little callous, I think.
Is that the Gaijin card, or is that just Gaijin fear?
Gaijin fear. Wow, that sounds like a John Woo film or something. Not John Woo, but you know what I mean.
I'd watch that. The opening scene is me burning down an orphanage and then doing a slowmation backflip out a window. speaking of slowmation backflip, but it doesn't really tie into the new Japanese Prime Minister, does it? Given he's 70-something years
old. Not really. Yeah, no, he would maybe be able to maybe dispatch a forward roll, but that's about it.
Well, you say that, but Yoshihide Suga, the new Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe's former right-hand man, he wakes up at about 5:30 every morning, apparently, and he does like 200 sit-ups or 200 press-ups.
Wow.
Let me have a look. Let me double-check
that. Has he showed his abs off? Has he ever showed his abs off? Has he ever sort of lifted his shirt and went, look, the iron... You've heard of the Iron Lady. Well, check out the steel abs of Yoshihide Suga.
I wouldn't want to watch that. Oh, here it is. Yoshihide Suga has a daily fitness routine, which includes doing 100 sit-ups and 40 minutes of walking each morning and 100 sit-ups each night. That is more exercise than I think you and I put together, is it not?
That's more sit-ups than I've ever done in my life, really. It's more times than I've ever sat up. I'm very much of a laying down kind of guy.
200 sit-ups a day. That is impressive.
Just incredible.
He's 71.
Incredible.
I mean, it's an interesting character. Nobody really knew much about him, unless you're, you know, living in Japan, you follow politics closely. He's the sort of guy that hides in the shadows. He's actually from a little town not too far from where I am in Yuzawa in Akita Prefecture. It's about 90 minutes from here. And he's brought up on a strawberry farm. So he's trying to connect with countryside, people that live in the countryside, because he lived there once. But I think from the age of like 20, he moved to Tokyo and he's never been back. He's kind of been like the fixer for Shinzo Abe. Whenever Shinzo Abe needed something done, he's like, Suga-san, get it done. He was like, all right. And he goes and does his press-ups and sit-ups, and then he gets it done. But he gets up at like...
He's like a whip.
He's like a whip. He's the man you want in the team. You want him there. But whether he's got the charisma to follow in Shinzo Abe's footsteps remains to be seen. Apparently, he's not that bothered about the world outside Japan. And credit where it's due to Shinzo Abe, he did do a good job building bridges with the outside world, given that he was in the job for the longest amount of time for any Japanese prime minister. So that's a little bit of a problem for old Yoshihide Suga, but it remains to be seen. But he was pulling the strings behind the scenes, so maybe he'll do something good. Apparently he wants to emphasize tourism as well.
He seemed to be the sort of guy to kind of continue the Abenomics. Obviously, he was the enforcer under Abe, and kind of business as usual until the party gets its kind of S in order. So to sort of come up with a genuine successor to Shinzo Abe, that inspirational leader that they need. But this guy just sounds like he's the John Major to the Margaret Thatcher, the aforementioned Margaret Thatcher.
And
Gordon
he's also
Brown to the Tony Blair.
Oh, God. That's never a good thing. I mean, good old Yoshihide Suga, he's got a cool nickname. They call him Uncle Reiwa because he was the one that unveiled the name of the new imperial era, right? Because we got the new emperor coming last year. He was the one that announced what the new era would be called, and they called it Reiwa. Uncle Reiwa. Like that.
Uncle Reiwa. Lovely old
Uncle
job.
Reiwa. Better than Uncle Pete, isn't it? Bring on Uncle Reiwa.
No, I think Uncle Pete's a good name.
Uncle Pete. But if I had an Uncle Pete, I know where I would take them. And that is our new story. An interesting development, an entire building. And to be honest, I take my hat off to anyone who's opened a bar or restaurant or anything during this ongoing nightmarish time.
Yeah.
But an entire building of restaurants and bars has opened in Tokyo, staffed by Japanese adult film actresses. And it's called Sodland, S-O-D, land, Sodland. Are you excited about Sodland, Pete?
Sod is it sort of byproduct of, it's a byproduct of industry, isn't it, Sod?
Sod, soft on demand.
Combustion takes place. Well, the actual company in question is called Soft Underman. Yeah, yeah, it's always very amusing when you see Japanese pornography and it's and their big company is SOD and Soft On Demand. I mean, presumably that's the last thing you need if you're an adult video producer, but we won't go into that. But yeah, Soft On Demand, the most prominent adult video production / distribution company. Look, they're nothing if not interesting with their titles.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, what does sod actually mean? Just seems like sod.
I think sod's like kind of, I want to say it's like ash, old ash or something like that. It's like, I'm fairly certain it's like a byproduct of cooking something or burning something. I think that's the case. Anyway, and obviously also, it's surface on the ground. It's like turf effectively. Underneath the sod was a layer of, it's basically soil effectively. The surface of the ground.
It sounds like a theme park that's best avoided. Pete Donaldson's sodland. Load of turf. In five, spread across five floors, but the good sodland opening in Kabukicho in Shinjuku, it's got five floors, right? And each floor they've got something going on, like they've got like the newcomer adult film actress floor, where you'll find sod fresh faced female employees. God, it all sounds a bit dodgy.
Good Lord.
But there's the idea is you can sort of get to know people that work in the film industry, the adult film actress industry, and whatnot. There's a silent bar where sod actresses clad. I want to stop saying the word sod. I hate that word. Sod actresses clad in swimwear, mixed drinks for customers behind a one-way mirror, and private conversation between patrons is strictly prohibited in order to allow them to quietly contemplate the view. That sounds a bit shady, does it not, Pete?
I would argue that all of it sounds very shady. But then, you know, that the whole kind of like. The idol business in Japan, obviously, some, you know, the sad blokes who throw a lot of money at people, at actors and actresses, is just a bit, it's all very unedifying. But look, if you think you can open a five floor business of any kind under the specter of COVID and a worldwide pandemic, good luck to you, I say. Good luck to you.
It's a bold move.
Sex workers work.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this place, Old Sodland, opens October 10th. Costs 500 yen to go in per 30 minutes. And then you can obviously have to pay for food and drink and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. It could be a good place to just chat with people. It's not too different from a hostess bar, really, is it? Or a kind of a standard hostess bar where you sit down, have women pour your drinks, or guys if you go to a host club. I don't know. I've never really wrap my head around it. It's an aspect of the culture that's very different from the UK. I mean, it's difficult though in Japan to go up to people in a bar and start talking to them. So I see why it's a thing, but I don't know. What are you going to go to Sodland, Pete, next time you're over? Five floors of excitement.
I wouldn't really know who the leading lights of that particular industry are. So, I'd like, what would be the point, really? Like, what can go on? I don't know who you are. And I'm not protesting too much. I'm not a massive consumer of it.
I'm dragging you, kicking and screaming to Sodland. Did I tell you? I think like 2 or 3 years ago, I had a Japanese porn actress like email me about doing a collaboration, like appearing on the channel and having me.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But I turned it down. Well, I mean, I didn't.
That might have been quite interesting.
I mean, I remember her name. I won't say it just because probably, I don't know, might not be a good idea.
First question will very much be about the pixels. What's that about then? What's going on down there?
How do you get
there?
Them on? But like, I don't know what I would have said. And like, I don't know if it would have been a good image for the channel. I was a bit on the fence because I was working with the Japanese government
at one
point.
You do look like a confirmed pervert as well, yeah. So you do look like a pervert. So it would be a terrible look.
I mean, what would you even call the video? I spent the day with a Japanese porn actress. Could be quite interesting to be fair.
Come on. We know what the big hitters are on people's Japan channels, and we know for a fact that one would absolutely kill. It would be the most popular
billion
video.
Views.
Come on.
Yeah. It would have been silly views. It would have.
Classic.
But just the idea of me sitting on a sofa with a Japanese porn actress being like, so, do you like doing that then? I don't know how I'd have done it. It would have been beyond me.
I would have liked to have seen the rushes. I'd like to have seen your little red face getting all embarrassed and all het up.
I need another coffee. what is sex? Yeah, it would have been awful. It would have been really bad.
Kissing and cuddling. Is that what that's all about? Kissing and cuddling.
Well, do I sound like that? That is not my accent.
You do.
Is that your Pete Donaldson impression of me? but there you go. Sodland. Get down there. Yeah. Next time, when Japan finally opens, ladies and gentlemen, get to Sodland. Five floors. Chat to the hostesses as they pour your drinks. Get to know them. I'm sure they're lovely. I'm sure they're nice.
Get sodded.
Get sodded. Get sodded at Sodland.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishkon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it?
Kombucha?
Kombucha. Yeah.
Kombucha. Kombucha. Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done. And, you know, all of that stuff, I kind of stopped.
Okay, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
Never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air. It doesn't get a lot of air time. No, it doesn't.
The Self-Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
And with that, we turn our attention to the fax machine. What do we got this week of the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
Oh, we got a message from Eddie from California, currently in Korea, waiting to travel back to Japan. Oh, Eddie. Eddie's in a holding pattern. a few miles off the course. Hi guys, enjoy the podcast. Love the podcast. In fact, I downgraded from love to enjoy in my head. That's how much of a kind of pessimist I am. I have a rare story of uncleanliness in Japan. Now I have to preface this with number one, I've worked in fast food and understand the stresses of being a young person in that workplace. And number two, I've been in the military for about 14 years. Eddie, you sound like you're seeing some stuff on both sides of that particular coin. So I was in a McDonald's in Sapporo in January 2020 because I wanted to try the Texas burger and the vanilla cream pie. speaking of previous subject, as I was enjoying my food, a worker went to take the trash out. As he did so, a huge rat ran behind the trash can booth and into the cleaning supply closet. No one else noticed except for me. I made eye contact with the worker, who had a look of surprise and fear. I simply shrugged and kept eating. A few minutes later, he came up with another worker and took care of it quietly. We made eye contact again, and we had that silent kind of silent bro moment and nodded to each other in appreciation of not making a big deal out of it. Thanks for the podcast and videos. My last few trips have been purely following Chris's travels in Sendai and Aomori, missing the Hachinohe market twice because I missed the close dates, among others. Keep it up, Eddie from California. So basically, he was in some kind of conspiratorial fervor with a fast food worker. Very exciting.
Did you spot the rat? I saw the rat too. I mean, God, I think I don't know if I was with you once, but I remember I was in Shibuya just waiting for someone by a vending machine, and I was looking at my phone, and I saw like a cat out the corner of my eye, and it ran like towards me and over my foot, and I was like, oh, it was a big cat. And as I looked down, I realized it was a gigantic rat with like a tail that was like a foot long, and it was awful.
Oh, they're incredible. And they're the center of town. The massive Shibuya is where I've seen the biggest rat I've ever seen in my life. It was in a Campari. It was outside a Campari bar because I like Campari and I'm obsessed with it. And there was a big bottle of Campari in a bar just in the, what's that, basketball street? I always forget which what it is. Just off the crossing. And a big rat ran out of the Campari bar, and it was flipping gigantic. It was almost to the point of looking like it was a Jim Henson creature. It was that huge. It was incredible. Incredible.
If you like rats and you're a rat enthusiast, please just go to Shibuya by the station, round the alleyways. Honestly, you'll see a staggering amount of rats, particularly after like 11 p.m. when it dies down, the rats come out to play.
Yeah.
And it's pretty unpleasant. We've got one here from Wesley. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. My name is Wesley and I'm a university student in Oklahoma. I was supposed to study abroad in Osaka for a year starting in August, but due to the virus, it looks more likely to be starting in January. I had many fun ideas planned for the hot weather the week I arrived, but now I'm trying to find activities to do during the intense cold weather. What are some good activities to do in Japan during the winter time? Thank you so much for the podcast, and I've been a long time fan of the channel as well. Keep it up, guys. All the best, Wesley. Sodland will be nice and warm in the winter months. Sodland. Get to some hot springs. Like all of North Japan is just snowy and cold in winter, but it's amazing to just go to a nice traditional Japanese inn and have a nice dinner and then sit in a hot spring outdoors with the snow falling around you. And you can pretty much do that in any hot spring resort in North Japan or in the Japanese Alps around Tokyo. Onsen, that would get my vote. And of course, skiing. Japan's got some of the best skiing in the world. Very powdery snow in places like Nagano or in Niseko or in Yamagata. Yeah, so skiing, sodland and onsen. Hot springs. What about
skiing
you, Pete?
Sodding. I would just get yourself a nice big coat, get yourself a nice hot coffee and just have a little stroll. Nice big, you can buy snoods from the 7-Elevens in a lot of places, which is very exciting. Scarves, get yourself a Uniqlo scarf, nice thick one, and just go for a stroll. Lovely old job. Lovely old job. Very picturesque. Take some pictures. Beautiful.
I mean, you can pretty much do that anywhere though, can't you, Pete?
All right, mate. Well, just try to, suggest something more wholesome than going to a house of ill repute, so to speak, all right?
Pete's Cheap Holidays. I mean, that could be a new YouTube channel. Pete's reasonably priced holidays.
Get yourself a big coat. If you haven't got a coat, just use an old blanket.
Sit on Google Street View and enjoy a free holiday in your duvet. We got one here from Jenny in London. He says, hi, Chris and Pete. Question for Chris. Do you do your own translation for your YouTube channel, or do you get assistance? Thanks for keeping us entertained during these trying times, Jenny in London. I it's quite cool. Like, YouTube had this amazing feature up until this month where people, viewers that wanted to translate the video into their own language would just do it just of their own accord. You know, I had like viewers in France, Spain, Germany who liked the videos so much that they actually subtitled them just for fun. And
nice.
But YouTube has
open
removed
to abuse.
That feature. Well, they said it's open to abuse, but it's not. I don't think I've ever had anyone do anything dodgy. And you can check it, right? You can kind of check it and do this auto-translate feature to check that there's nothing weird going on. But, yeah, it's a real shame. YouTube got rid of it. So you can't do that now. So it's just going to be raw Japan and English at best. So, and they got rid of it because YouTube realized they can monetize it by having it. So now you have to pay like some sort of monthly fee for some third-party software for people to come in and do it, and it's just like, oh, okay. So nobody's going to do it anymore. That's a shame.
Well, I mean,
that
it has to be, but I mean, presumably it has to be, presumably you're in a situation where presumably it has to be a really, really good translation. So if they're kind of, if you're paying good money for, you know, their module to run its digital eyes over your output and produce subtitles, presumably you're looking for it to be a really, really good level. So, you know, maybe it is a good service, maybe it's not, but I would mistrust any AI version of Google Translate to translate the English into Japanese, for example, or English into Chinese, because obviously it's very nuanced, isn't it? Like, there's a difference between localization and translation, isn't there? So, yeah, interesting that they're offering that particular product when I would posit that it possibly isn't as good as it could be users doing it.
YouTube just saw a way of making more money, really. They're kind of looking at ways to monetize the platform more desperately recently, and that is one way to do it. But I think it was a really silly move, one of the stupidest things YouTube's done in a long time. But, I mean, we do have some of Ryotaro's staff actually translate the videos into Japanese from time to time as well, so we can get Japanese viewers watching. But, that's how I've done it. Keep the stories, comments, questions coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days. Now Pete's back. He's back again to go all over and do more podcasts, back from his holiday, rejuvenated with a tan. Awesome. Yep. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be in the big wide world, I'm going to cut off Pete. What do you want to say, Pete? Say something
you said it a little bit like Eminem. Guess who's back?
Guess who's back with a brand new rap? Pete Donaldson.
Yeah. All of those things.
Awesome, guys. But for now, take care and we'll see you in the next few days. Have a good one.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.